Hallelujah. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Meaning that give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So God will cause your salary to increase. God will cause you to have a better job. God will cause people to give to you because you give. Amen. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Remember that Jesus Christ, he has the words of eternal life. Anything Jesus said is very true. Jesus Christ, he predicted many things that have come to pass. The Bible is the only book from antiquities or from the past, the only book that has prophecies that were written long before they actually happened. Jesus prophesied. Okay, so Jesus, AD 33, or AD between AD 32 and AD 33, Jesus prophesied that the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed and that not a single stone will be left on top of the other. This was a prophecy written, and the New Testament was written up to around AD 60-something. I don't think it was written by AD 70. Meaning that 70 years after Christ was born. How many are getting me so far? The reason is because when Jesus predicted that the temple would be destroyed in AD 70, Titus Vespasian, the Titus who became the Caesar or the Roman emperor, who was under Vespasian, I think his uncle or father, he took the Roman legion, went to Jerusalem, and in AD 70, destroyed the temple and burnt it to the ground. And this was not said in any of the Gospels because it had not yet happened when the Gospels were written, most likely. So Jesus made strong predictions that came to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, when you look at the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, these are books that had strong prophecies that were fulfilled after the fact, after it was written. So as for the Bible, it is the most authentic book you can ever have. The Bible, when you go to Jerusalem, everything that is written in the Bible, you see it. When you see they went to this place, they went to Capernaum, you can see all of it. Hallelujah. The Bible is very authentic. So when Jesus makes a statement, it is true. Jesus is the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus is the truth. He walked physically on earth. How many get what I'm saying? There are extra biblical accounts or accounts that are not in the Bible that prove the historicity of Jesus. Actually, Jesus is more historical than any historical figure you can find.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So when Jesus says something, you must believe it. Jesus is so historical. There was a Roman historian called Tacitus who wrote in the Roman vault or annals or historical annals about a person called Yeshua Christus, who was a troublemaker, who performed miracles and was crucified under the prefect Pontius Pilate, and his followers said he rose from the dead. That shows that Jesus was a historical figure.
That's right.
Then we have Josephus, who wrote the Antiquities of the Jews. Historical. So if this man or God manifested in the flesh says, give and it shall be given unto you, you must believe it. And many people have given and they've seen the proof of the giving. There is no one who gives who is not blessed. David said, I've been young and I've been old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I was very blessed when I was hearing that lady speak about how she was in the shelter. She was right in front of the shelter and said, I was here. I was in the shelter. And I followed God closely and God took me out. Now she's distributing. Wow. It shows the power of God. Amen. In action. I have been young and I have been old. Now I am old. So David in Psalm 37 verse 25 says, I was young, I am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Never. It's not been seen before. And that's going to be my story and your story. Amen. I said, that is going to be my story and your story. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of prioritization, which creates wealth. Matthew 6:33. Hopefully we can focus in spite of the sound. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's go to verse 28 to find out what these things are. I see wealthy people here. I said, I see wealthy people here. I see people with millions, with hundreds of thousands. Who is it? Raise your hands if you are that person.
Amen.
Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You can have what you see.
Amen.
And why take thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, meaning that if God can make flowers beautiful, which are eventually spoiled and get messed up, shall he not much kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So part of seeking God's kingdom is going to church, is praying, is reading your Bible, is serving God, and is also tithing.
Amen.
Tithing is not the ultimate, but tithing is part of the things you and I need to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me show you why. And this will ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have. And if I let's use NLT for this so that I don't, this is just a side. Fools, didn't God make the inside as well as the outside? So give to the needy what you greedily possess. What you greedily possess, and you will be clean all over. But how terrible it will be for you Pharisees. Those are some of the pastors. Pharisees were the pastors of that day. Help pastors, God. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you completely forget about justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes. New Testament, but you should not leave undone the more important things. So tithing is not the most important thing. But if you want wealth, tithing is important. But Jesus is saying that mercy, justice, and love of God, those are more important than tithing. Nevertheless, he still said you should tithe. Yeah. Yes. This New Testament. Look at Matthew 23:20-23. Because I used to, when I was not understanding things, I used to say to my cousin, where is tithing in the New Testament? I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to waste my time tithing. Where is the money? tithe on the left, if I'm giving £100 or dollars, what is the corresponding money? I need to see a one-to-one relationship. Otherwise, I'm not going to tithe. And he said, you can't do that. Later on, I understood. God gives you more than the one-to-one correspondence.
Amen.
He gives you health. He gives you blessings. He gives you a good life. He gives you a prosperity. And he gives you thousands times more than the tithe. Whosoever therefore shall swear before the altar shall swear by it and by all things thereon. In fact, let's use NLT just for this, and then we'll go back to King James. When you swear by the altar, you are swearing by it and by everything on it. And when you swear by the temple, you are swearing by it and by God who lives in it. And when you swear by heaven, you are swearing by the throne of God and by God who sits on the throne, meaning that don't swear. How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. What do you think? Very, very important. So seek first God's kingdom. How do you seek God's kingdom? By justice, by mercy, by faith, by the love of God, which you read in Luke, and by tithing. Number four. No, where am I now? Number four. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of emulation, which creates wealth. I think this is where we got to. This is where we are now. Hebrews 6:12. The law of emulation. What does it mean to emulate? To copy something that is good, that's beneficial. That ye be not slothful or lazy. Laziness takes you nowhere.
That's right.
Laziness is if a lazy people usually become poor. Thank you. Let me say it better. Lazy people are poor. But it does not guarantee, of course, you can be hardworking, but circumstances can get you to that level. Hallelujah. But we are sure that when you are lazy, you'll be poor. Yes, rest assured. But you can, but what I'm saying is that God can turn any situation around and bless you. Hallelujah. Any person who is lazy does not get what they need to get. I talk to my children every time. I always tell her, you have to be hardworking. I said, you got to be hardworking. If you are not hardworking, you must learn to do your own things. Do your things. Learn to do your own laundry. Learn to do your own clean, sweep. Do for yourself. For yourself. Learn to study hard. Focus. Otherwise, it's not going to help you. It's very good advice. The hardworking people are the ones who are ruling the world.
Yeah.
You think the president just sleeps and takes his time, always sleeping till 12 midnight? I mean, till 12 noon? Or Bishop Dag is just relaxing. He sleeps and then wakes up at 11 a.m. No. They work hard. That's why they are successful. You and I must learn to work hard. And the Bible is saying, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised.
Amen.
Now, this is very important because you cannot follow someone when you are lazy. Because you need to read about them, study about them, and do the hard things they did. Because someone who was successful must have been doing something hard.
That's right.
And for you to follow them, you must also be doing something hard.
Yeah.
Even to benefit yourself, you must be hardworking.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Emulation is the art of copying something others are doing. Abramovitz, the economist, spoke of surging forward and catching up with those ahead. This is emulation and is what rich nations did to become wealthy. Simply put, rich nations became rich by copying what successful nations did around them. For instance, in 1957, when the Soviet Union stepped ahead of the world with the Sputnik program, a series of robotic spacecraft missions, America emulated the activities. Photocopy of Russia by setting up NASA. That's how come NASA was set up. Yeah. In the following year, in 1958, America did not decide to specialize in farming and leave Russia to develop space technology. They decided to search forward and catch up with the Soviet Union. It is through such acts of emulation that most of the rich and developed world became who they are today. Unfortunately, where I come from in Africa, they don't copy anything. They try to do their own things, and it takes them down. They copy the wrong things. But you must learn to copy the right things. Don't use Africa's example of copying the wrong things. When you copy the wrong things, you go down with the wrong. Countries like Korea that shamelessly copied industrial secrets and practices of Western countries have equally caught up and become rich. Emulation is therefore a well-known strategy for developing wealth. Hallelujah. If you want to be rich, just copy those who have done it well. Bishop, he practices what he preaches. There was something I just discovered. I was looking at. I'll wait for you to find it yourself. He copied someone A to Z. He copied it. You have no idea. The same font, the same picture, the same color scheme. He copied it, A to Z. It's a copy and paste. I was like, wow. He practices what he preaches. You'll be surprised. I don't think you understand. There was no difference. There was no change, no variation. If someone is doing something that is successful, take it and copy it. Very good advice. Do what rich people did to become rich. Don't bother with what they say. Just do what they did to become wealthy. Copying is the most primitive and uninhibited form of learning. It is therefore nature's highest and best way of learning because it is the method created by God. Emulation or copying others throughout nature and leads to speedy development. The Jews are known for their legendary wealth, the Jewish people. They are actually hated because of their success and riches. One of the chief practices of Jews is tithing. Tithing, therefore, is an activity of the legendary rich. If you want to be rich, you must emulate rich people. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your current situation is. If you copy successful people, you will be successful. I am sure whoever is reading or hearing about this book has a desire to be successful and even rich. Why don't you emulate the Jews whose legendary wealth has brought them such fame and jealousy? Why don't Christians do that? Many Christians don't do that. The Bible teaches about emulation in Hebrews 6:12. It teaches us to follow people who have succeeded in what they did. Famous Bible characters like Abraham and Jacob tithed before the law. So tithing has not been a law. Tithing has not been from the law, cannot be from the law because it surpasses the law. It predates the law. Tithing is not the law because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Jacob tithed before the law. What do you think? The Bible teaches about emulation. Okay, Solomon, the richest man who ever lived, practiced tithing. Is it any wonder to you if tithing is recommended as a practice that can lead to wealth? After all, the rich, successful people you wish to be like practice tithing. And tithing, if you, thank God, if I give my daughter $20, she knows to tithe $2 from it. I tithe because I want to be wealthy.
That's right.
The fact that my pastor does not mean I don't tithe. Every pastor should tithe.
That's right.
She gets $50, she tithes $5. Or, yeah. Everyone must tithe. Everybody got to tithe. Because tithing is a blessing for you. Number five, tithing Christians understand the law of seasons and this creates wealth. We are in the season now that we can give. What I mean by that is that anyone who gets even $20, anyone who gets any money can tithe the money. When I get gifts, I tithe it. I tithe the gifts. When I get my taxes, I tithe. I tithe everything. I tithe everything. Taxes is a part of my increase. I tithe it. Tax refund. And, yeah, sorry, yeah, tax refund. When I owe, there's nothing to tithe because I owe. But when I get something, I tithe.
That's right.
If someone gives me $50, I'll tithe the $50 because it's an increase. And that's what it blesses. Genesis 41, 29 to 31. What do you think? Why don't you try the Bible? God's word is true. Try it. And the widow's mite, she has. Yeah, you've tried it and it's worked. Yes. When you hear his story, it's like, it's fantastic. One of these days you share it. When you hear this man's story, you just know that tithing works. How God opened doors for you without you understanding. Wow, it works. Someone who we are all in America, where there's plenty, and yet someone from Africa. Well, we are anyway. I'm also from Africa, but someone who lived in Africa, God was able to bring here and bless him here. Fully, you have no idea. We'll give the example. It's fabulous. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. So there was plenty in Egypt in the time of Joseph. And the Pharaoh had a dream about seven fat cows, and the lean cows ate up the fat cows.
Wow.
So the interpretation of that dream was that there's going to come a time of famine, and that famine would eat up all the prosperity, and it's going to be so bad that the prosperity they had in the past will not be remembered. So the plan was that they should give or store plenty in preparation for the lean time or the famine. Because when they store a lot for the famine, when the famine comes, they'll still have plenty because they've stored enough. And that happened. In the same way, you and I are at a point where I don't think there's anyone here who does not receive $5. You tithe 50 cents. It's not the amount that counts. It's the faithfulness in tithing. That's the key. It's not the amount that counts. A dollar, you tithe 10 cents. You see, so this message affects everyone, and everyone can be blessed by this message because a dollar, you tithe 10 cents, 10 cents before you realize $100, you tithe $10, then $1,000, you tithe $100, then $10,000, you tithe. That's how it works. That's how it works. Yes, and it will happen. So far as you are giving for the little, God will give you much. But Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least would also be faithful in much. How can God trust you and I with $10,000 tithe because we are getting what, $100,000 a month. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When the $100 tithe you can't give, why would God trust you with the bigger amount? Because it's harder to tithe when you have a bigger amount you are given. Sometimes when I see my bonus and I'm about to tithe it, I'm like, my goodness, I have things for the bonus. Haven't there are so many things, or my tax return, or some money, and I'm saying to myself, my goodness, I can use, I can do a lot with it. I've got certain bills to pay, I've got certain things to do with it, but now I have to tithe it. If it was $100, you just tithe it easily. Tithe of $100,000 is $10,000. So you see how big it is, but if you can't give the $10, you won't give the $100,000, the $10,000. Tithe. So this is the time. This is the season that you and I must tithe. When it's not the $100,000 a month yet. It hasn't come yet. Tithe it. Tithe the $1. Tithe the 10 cents. Tithe it. Yeah. Yeah. Tithe it. Any amount. And don't say, maybe this month I made the mistake of not tithing and next month has arrived and I've forgotten about it. You owe that back one. Pay it. At least so far as you can remember. Yeah, pay it. Yeah. So last month I was not able to pay my tithe because I had some bills to pay. That shouldn't happen anyway. But let's assume it happens. We are human. Next month, I pay the tithe for next month, and then I pay some off what I owe, and then pay it off immediately. And then you owe nothing plus interest. If after all, the interest is to God; it's actually to yourself. Just like when you borrow, you're not supposed to really, but when you borrow from your 401k, you pay yourself interest. It's going back to you. So paying the interest to God, you don't lose out. You're actually paying interest to yourself. You're actually helping yourself because you are putting money in an account in heaven waiting for you to withdraw. You don't lose out tithing. Don't lose out. If I give $1,000 to church, it's not, you can sow it with tears, but it's not painful like you lost money in the deal, maybe in for mechanical problem, or you lost money in a different way, or house repair, you lost money, or healthcare bills. That's not as painful. One is going to a better place to store up blessings for you. The other is lost. Yes. Yeah. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust with the $5 or the $20 is the least, is unjust in the least, is unjust also in much. So anytime I see my children giving tithe, I know that it means that they'll be prosperous in the future.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And those who are not giving it, I pray that they give it. Because it's not all that are giving. Some are just enjoying it. Well, hopefully he's giving, my son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Does he? Yeah, he gives. So he'll be prosperous. The little one, Phoebe, must also be giving. I have not observed yet. Does she give? I've not observed yet, but that's something that she must give. Because when you start small, you'll be rich at an early age. Oh, yeah. When you start giving at a young age, the riches will come early.
Amen.
16 years old, 17, you are giving now. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh. Even if you are 50, even if you are 60, it just means that the blessing will come eventually.
Amen.
It didn't come when you're younger, but it will come. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. No one is exempt if you don't want to be exempt. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. One more, and then we'll continue. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. That one, unless Christ tarries, everyone here, the time to be born has already occurred. But there'll be a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. Now, the TLB says, there is a right time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to harvest. Amen. Yes, New Living Translation. A time to plant and a time to harvest. May you and I harvest our plants. Amen. May you and I harvest it. A person who practices tithing demonstrates that he recognizes the season for sowing seeds. He demonstrates or she demonstrates that he or she will be expecting a season of harvest in the future. That means you are sowing because you expect. When I sow, I sow because I love God. But as I'm sowing, I say to myself, oh, thank you for the opportunity. I know God, you are going to bless me. I know that I'm going to be blessed because I'm sowing. Christianity is a very spiritual thing, relationship with many tests. Many tests. Sometimes, not many times, giving is a test. Forgiving is a test. Loving is a test. Acts of love for God or love for your neighbor are all tests. All these things are tests. Christianity is not just giving. Giving is one of them, but every day we are being tested by God because God is just, okay, I want to bless you. I want to bless David. Now, how can I bless David? Okay, I can bless David. Okay, let me find out. Then he'll just throw a test. Am I going to pass? If I pass it, then he'll bless. Oh, yeah. Next level. Yeah. That's how it works. There are tests all the time. All the time. Are you going to show love? Are you going to smile at someone? Are you going to show a loving, kind, do a kind thing to someone? Are you going to put a smile on someone's face? Yeah. Are you going to forgive the person who hurt you? Mm. When you do that, you are passing tests and you are telling God that I love you. You are proving your love for God.
Amen.
Yeah. There was a time I was last week when we went to a particular place. And we're there. I was like, no, this will be the last. I don't think I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't need to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. And then God told me that, look, I love these particular people. I love them. And it pleases me that, because even though they might not know me for sure, I love them and I just want to put a smile on their face. I want to minister to them through the song and stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of like it's important to God. It's important to God. That's why yesterday I had different meetings and I was saying to myself, maybe I'm going to say, no way. I want to put a smile on God's face. I'm getting up and going. Yeah. He told me clearly. Remember I told you I was going to tell you. It put a smile on his face because he said, look, these are very special to me. These people are very, very special to me. And because they are very special to me, I want you to continue to do it because they are special. They are important to me. Amen. I love them. Amen. God loves us. Amen. Yeah, Amen. God loves us. Amen. So that gingered me. I said, no, we're moving. Whatever happens, we'll continue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that was necessary because I was almost saying to myself that, you know, I was getting upset. Hallelujah. He shows that he is fully aware of the fact that things do not remain the same forever.
Amen.
Everything we have is for a season. All enduring wealth is created by men who took advantage of the season of sowing when it came.
Yeah.
God is teaching you about tithing so that you will become one of the people who flow successfully with the seasons of life. God is giving you a season to plant the seed of the tithe. The tithe seeds you have sown will give you a harvest in the future. You will benefit greatly when others are struggling because you sowed the seed of the tithe.
Amen.
It's awesome. You and I must be willing. Willing. So let's make it our goal to put a smile on Jesus' face. Because, look, we all are not perfect. Meaning that there are many things that God says do that we don't do. There are many things God says don't do that we do. There are many things God says don't say that we say. There are many things that God says say that we don't say. So many thoughts. Oh, the thoughts. The thoughts. So any opportunity you get to put a smile on Jesus' face is very important. Very important. That should be our life's goal, because as for Jesus, he wants to bless us. As for Jesus, he wants to give us breakthrough. Those are nothing for him. Those are nothing for him. Yesterday, I was telling the people at the shelter that Jesus wants to fix our lives. He wants to make all things beautiful. But he says that we should open the door. He's outside knocking. Just open the door for me so that I can come in and fix your life. But I need access. I can't force you.
Yes.
Have you not realized that all of us, God never forced us.
Yeah.
God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is gentle. God wants you to give him access to your life.
Yes.
So that he can work on our lives. He wants us to give him access. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you would hear me, just open the door. I love you so much. He's proved his love. For God commended his love toward us in that whilst we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he loves us so much and he wants to enter into our lives and help us. But he says that just give me access. I can't force you. I'm standing and knocking. I'm patient. I love you so much. I'm patient. I'm just knocking. Just open the door and allow me to come in, and you see what I'll do to you. You see how I'll make your life beautiful. You see how I'll make your life meaningful. But I just need access. May you and I give him access into our lives. Shall we stand to our feet? God bless you. And let's just stand in prayer to God and ask God to bless his word in our lives. Ask God to give us a heart for him. Ask God to prepare us for the future. Just speak to God. Speak to him. Tell him that you want to make him your Lord. You want to give him access. You want to give Jesus access into your life. I give you access. Tell the Lord Jesus that you open the door of your heart. That you open the door of your heart. That you open the door of your heart. So that he can come in. He can come in. He can come in. He can come in. Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus. Let's sing, I give myself away. Let's tell God. I want you. I need you, Jesus. You are my all, my everything. Yes. Oh, yes. Just sing it as a prayer. I give myself away, Jesus.
Give myself away.
Tell him with all your heart.
I give myself away
so
you can use me. I give myself away.
Sing it as a prayer. Lord Jesus, I give myself away.
I give myself away. So you can use
me. Here I am.
Here I am.
Here I
sing
stand.
It as a prayer.
Here. I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands.
Lord, I'm longing.
Lord, I'm longing.
I'm longing to see.
To see your desires revealed in me. I gave myself away. I gave myself away so you can use me. I gave myself away. Gave myself away so you can.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you.
My life is not my own. Sing it out, you mean it to Jesus.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you.
Give myself away.
I give myself away. I gave myself away so you can use me. I gave myself away.
Oh, giving yourself to Jesus is the best thing you can ever do.
I gave myself away.
Here I stand one more time.
Here I am.
Yes, stand.
Yeah, I stand.
Lord, my life.
Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm
longing to see.
To see your desires revealed in.
I give myself,
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
If you are here this afternoon and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are not born again, or you don't have the new birth experience, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you want to say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I have faults. I have problems. But I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want him. I want to come to Jesus just the way I am. Jesus Christ wants us just the way we are. If you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about joining a church, or I'm talking about joining the family of God in heaven. You want to say, Pastor, I want my sins forgiven. I want a fresh start with Jesus. Just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. I want a fresh start. I want to try Jesus. I want to try him. Just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. You want to say, Pastor, I want Jesus. I want to stand just one more time. I don't know Jesus very well. I'm not that religious, but I want to try Jesus. I want to give Jesus a chance. One more time. Is there anyone? Just raise your hands high up. I see a hand. Do I see any other hands? Come forward. And you pray this just once. Is there any other person? Just come forward. Do I see any other? I want Jesus. I want to give Jesus the chance. Just before praying. Just before praying. Okay, shall we repeat after me? Heavenly Father. Okay,
Heavenly
I see.
Father.
Let's be sure. Yes. Yes, we'll do that. Anybody else? I don't want to start praying before because this is the most important prayer. This is changing yourself from the kingdom of the world and coming to the family of Jesus. Shall we repeat after me? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you,
I come to you,
just as I am,
just as I am.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross
for my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus, come into my life.
Come into my life.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive me. For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
From
all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today. I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus.
I rededicate my life to Jesus Christ.
I rededicate my life to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, I pray, and we as a church pray for everyone who is standing in front, those who need help. Father God, help them. Those who need healing, Father God, heal.
Yes.
For you are our healer.
Yes.
We pray, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your healing power. Father God, your word says that if any is sick, they should call for the elders of the church and they should anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Jesus, heal. Heal. Heal, Lord Jesus. Restore. Heal her body, Lord Jesus. Receive the power of God. Receive your healing. In Jesus' name. Father God, we bless and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Thank you. You may take your seats. Right after church, Pastor Elam would have a word with you. Amen. So let's put our hands together for them. You've been healed. You've been healed. Hallelujah. We may take our seats. Let's take out a good offering. If you have your tithe, you can bring it forward and we would pray. If you have your tithe,